What's up, everybody? It's Dan Binder Boneyard coming at you from the shop. If you are watching on YouTube, I appreciate it very much. If you are listening on any of the podcast platforms, I am glad that you are there. Been a very busy couple of weeks. It's hard to do these podcasts when I'm on the road, traveling, doing that kind of thing. So it is, you know, I try to do these things. I mean, obviously, if you are watching the video right now, not the most professional, you know, in the shop. It's the shop sitting on a cart here. If you're listening, I'll try to describe it real fast. I'm using a tool cart as a microphone stand, sitting here on a rickety stool. Got a couple of GoPros, scouts in the background. You know, just the usual busy shop. So yeah, no studio here. Even before, when I was just doing it from the office. But anyway, been gone, been on the road. Some big stuff. You know, what started it off was a big parts collection out of Vancouver, Washington. We ended up making a deal on and went to look at. It was a very time sensitive deal. Property was for sale. You know, the old guy passed. Stuff was needed to move immediately. So, you know, I changed everything, pulled out all the stops, called in some favors, really leveraged myself to the max to get this parts collection, which included, you know, 9 trucks and thousands of NOS IH parts, just incredible number of parts. And if you see if you follow us on our website, or eBay store, under the same name, Binder Boneyard, there you're seeing, a lot of NOS parts are starting to make their way onto that website. So, and that's just to scratch the surface. You know, it's just so hard to describe, the sheer volume. And it's not just like, it's so hard to describe. There's just like bags of washers and, you know, an entire box full of one radiator hose number. Like, it's just crazy what's in these boxes. And so, we had to deal with all that. That was a week. We started the job on Friday, and I had to go all the way till the following Saturday to get it all moved and get it into storage and get everything taken care of. So, you know, it was just a incredible ordeal. I'm grateful for all the help, from my employees, from my dad who rode along, which was kind of nice to get to, spend the day with him, get him to see kind of what, you know, what we did. It was, you know, it's hard to describe to people what I do. You know, this, I mean, you guys that follow and everyone that watches and stuff, you understand. I mean, this is a restoration shop, but it's also a parts business. We sell a ton of stuff online. We do, you know, a lot of sales. That's really what helps keep the doors open, is I don't have enough employees to turn over enough trucks to keep the restoration side of the business to keep the doors open. So I have to sell parts. We have to make parts, you know, through the Harvester hardware line or whatever. So having these part sales, you know, it's really important. And so people don't always understand the scope of my business. And I, you know, so it was good for my dad to kind of see it firsthand, like what we have to go through sometimes to get this stuff handled. So I was grateful for that, getting to spend the day with him and do all that. Josie was back and forth between here and there, which from here to Vancouver is about 3 hours. So it's just close enough that it's annoying. You 3 hours on the road, and then you do a bunch of work and stay over there and work some more, and then drive back here to take care of shop stuff. And that was the other part too, is that a lot of stuff got neglected. Phone calls, emails, things like that, where we were scrambling to get this job done in time, and it was hard to answer all the phone calls and do all that. So, that the business suffers in that respect when I'm, trying to handle other things like that. So anyway, so we were on the road a bunch. I put a kajillion miles on the black truck, or the Eagle truck now. So that was good. And then the following week, as soon as I got done with this big move, I had to go to California, and I helped Sean, Anything Scout, work on the race car, the Terra, the El Tractor, was that it's called now. And so I was there for 4 days, 3 days, working on the race car. And I did it because it was a paying gig. I'm not getting rich on it or anything like that, but because he at least covered my time to go down there, then I could justify it, so to speak. I couldn't have done it if it was free, or if I was working for free, I couldn't have made it happen. So, but it was good because the Nora 1000 is coming up in April, and I will be working on the chase, or on the chase crew, for that race. So it was good to get my eye on the car, help do some stuff. I got some coolers mounted, power steering cooler and things like that mounted. Did the whole front end. I went through all that, ball joints, and did the whole front end and that sort of stuff. So it was just good to get that done. So then I get back from that, and there's so much to catch up on that last the podcast didn't get done. And then last weekend was my birthday. So I was out of town all weekend for my birthday. So I didn't do any podcasts then. So actually, I say all of that to say, on all that, we drove internationals pretty much exclusively. Of course, the black truck did all the parts moving, truck moving, and then, I shouldn't say all. I had some help. My friend Haas came out and helped move some trucks with his Ford, and then ended up getting a travel all out of the deal. But no, we drove Josie Scout Palmolive to the beach for my birthday, which was, several hundred miles round trip. So today's podcast, I wanted to talk about, daily driver, or I shouldn't say daily driver, road trip prep and road trip thoughts, what you should, put together, how you should think about driving your international on longer trips. The short jaunts around town is, they're easy, they're low stress. You're only, worst case, you're 10 miles from home. You have a problem, a buddy can tow you back in on a tow strap, or AAA comes and gets you and takes you back to your local mechanic that should have fixed it right the first time, or whatever. But when you're going on longer drives, a couple hundred miles overnight, things like that, that's when the stress and anxiety level goes up a little bit, and you need to be more thoughtful and more conscientious of how you're putting your truck together. So, the first thing I tell everybody is, don't get hung up in the fact that it's an old truck. Like, the wheel bearings in your truck, Scout, whatever, are very similar, if not the same wheel bearings that are in new trucks and new cars. If you want to split hairs, the new cars have unit bearings and CV axles and that sort of stuff. Whatever. You stop poking holes in my story. What I'm saying is that bearings are bearings. U-joints are U-joints. Axle shafts are axle shafts. Like, it doesn't matter if they're 60 years old or if they're brand new. If you are up on your maintenance and you take care of your wearables, like wheel bearings, you pack them every couple of years, you take care, you know, check them, like, you will roll down the road just as good as anything modern. Same, like I say, with U-joints. If your drive shafts are in good condition, your U-joints are greased and not sloppy, then you're going to go down the road just like a modern truck. Brakes, same thing. You know, yeah, they've kind of gone away from drum brakes the last 15 years. But if your brakes are in good condition and up to, you know, snuff, they've been maintained and taken care of, then your brakes are fine. So right there, you've eliminated, you know, 3/4 of what keeps you from rolling down the road. So, you know, that's stuff that you can eliminate that would strand you if you just make sure that your wheel bearings are packed and your, you know, front hubs are adjusted correctly and that the rear bearings don't have too much play in them and that the differential has fresh, you know, good oil that's been changed within the last 3 years. And, you know, those sorts of things will eliminate a lot of stranding potential. Then you move into the things like operation, like, you know, does the fuel pump work correctly? And if it does, when's the last time you changed fuel filters? Because sediment and whatnot, if you're going on short drives, it takes time to plug up a filter. So if you're just short drive here, short drive there, you never really plug the filter up. The sediment just settles in the bottom, or it, you know, takes a long time to plug a filter. But when you're on the road and you're running for hours at a time, the filters can plug up. So, you know, it's important that your fuel system be in good shape. You know, make sure that you've got fresh filters if you're about to hit the road. You know, and this stuff is like, kind of just falls into general maintenance. You know, like if you've got 3,000 miles on the oil and you've got a big trip coming up, change it. Like, no duh. You know, if you got 2,000 miles on the oil and you're going on a 500 mile trip, it's fine. Just check the level. Like, I know I shouldn't have to say this sort of stuff, but, you know, I say it because there's a reason why people ask me this stuff. And yeah, so things like that. Make sure your fuel filter's good and clear, because long drives will rattle stuff loose in the fuel tanks and in the fuel system. So if you're unsure of your fuel tank, you know, if you know you're going on a multi-day drive, fresh filters. And then you move on to ignition, electrical. You know, making sure that if you got points, that they're adjusted correctly, they're not burnt, you know. And this, some of this comes down to having a good spares box. You know, we've talked about in the past, having us, you know, like if you have a Scout, you know, we sell the medicine cabinet, you put it in your quarter panel there, and you can haul spare parts, fluids, whatever. A lot of things that can keep you from being stranded, you know, in that event are having an extra coil, having an extra set of points, having an extra condenser, a couple of spark plugs, like things like that. Because yeah, if your coil fails on the road, you're stranded. There's no way to work around not having a functional coil. And that's one of those things where you can't really check it. You can't do much with it. You know, if the truck's running, the truck's running, but you really should have that spare with you just in case. But you know, adjust the points if you've got points. If you have a Protronics or whatever, you know, just make sure everything is still connected to where it's supposed to be. There's no melted wires or anything's frayed or anything like that. You know, if your battery connections are questionable, clean them, you know, wire brush, pull the terminals, clean the posts, you know, put some WD-40 or put some that anti-corrosion battery spray junk on them. Because, you know, you want to make sure that that battery is fully taking a charge and capable of supporting all of your electrical accessories if you are driving at night. Which in summertime, you don't drive at night as much, I guess, because the days are so long. But still, you know, you want your headlights to be as bright as possible. You want all your signals to work. So making sure that that battery connection is good, making sure the alternator is good, you know, putting a meter on it, making sure you're getting the full 14.1 or whatever at, you know, whatever RPM. That's important. If you're, you know, idling and it's doing 12.3 and then you rev it up and it's getting 13 maybe, then your alternator is on its way out. Again, some of that stuff comes down to maintenance and just paying attention to your truck. But, you know, these are things to think about when you're going to go on a long drive. You really don't want to get stranded at the gas station because of a questionable battery or questionable alternator or bad connection. Something as dumb as corrosion in a connector can strand you. And then, you know, any of you married guys know that once you get stranded at the gas station or you have a problem on the road with your significant other, it creates a lot of tension. And not all the time. I mean, everyone's experience is different, but our number one request from a lot of you guys when these jobs come in is make it so my wife likes it. Make it so that it doesn't strand me. So things to think about like that, you know, making sure that you're not stranded because of poor connection. Make sure your cables are good. Make sure everything is hooked up right. You know, making sure, speaking of filters, making sure you got a fresh air filter. You know, if you're going to be on the road for any distance, you want to get the best possible mileage. So making sure you've got a good air filter, making sure your tune is correct. You know, when's the last time you did spark plugs? If it's been 5 or 7 years, I don't care if you only drive at 1,000 miles a summer, you know, 7 years on plugs. I don't know. They get corrosion on them from sitting. And then the carbureted trucks, you know, they don't run the cleanest and they carbon up and stuff like that. So, you know, consider doing a set of spark plugs if it's been 5 or 7 years or, you know, 15,000 miles or whatever, like stuff to think about. So to make sure your tune is good. You know, all these little steps just make sure that you have the best possible running experience. You know, your cooling system, there's another one that's important. Making sure that your hoses aren't too soft, making sure you're up to the level and the mixture of coolant and water is correct. You don't want to overheat, especially if you're on a southern states trip and, you know, you don't want to get hot coming through Death Valley or whatever. That's, you know, disaster there if you're not set up right. So you're making sure the cooling system, give all the hose clamps a quarter turn. If you know, like, just double check that stuff, make sure there's nothing that's suspicious or out of the ordinary, or, you know, that you're not sure what it's supposed to look like and you don't think it's right. You know, just kind of visually check stuff out. And you know, those are the high points. Like, really, you know, if your dash lights don't work or something like that, it's not the end of your road trip. It's just you want to make sure that you're mechanically sound, because it's a different kind of wear on a truck when you're going, 60 miles an hour for 2 hours straight versus, the 10 minute jaunt here and there. New problems arise when you'd run those kinds of distances and the speeds. You might figure out that your alignment is off, or you got a tire that's out of balance, or something questionable like that, So if you're unsure of the age of your tires, or if they haven't been balanced or rotated in a long time, and you want to drive to Harvester in the hauler, then you might want to have the tires rotated, have them rebalanced, check them out. Most modern tire shops, if they're older than 10 years, they're going to want you to replace them. Sometimes I disagree with that, depending on the storage of the tires, but I've seen some come in here that were less than 10 years old and in terrible shape, sidewall cracks, that kind of stuff. So, sometimes it's up to the discretion of you, but don't always assume that some shop is just trying to pull a fast one on you because of, 10-year tire rule or something like that. Definitely look into it. But, making sure that just you roll down the road good, everything's greased, your fluids are up and fresh, and then interior stuff. If you got a family, you already know, you're going to need some cup holders. You're going to need some places to, cargo area is going to need some dividers in it for various, a cooler and bags and toys or, whatever. But be mindful of that because you get, squeaks and rattles and noise, and, it might not make that noise when there's nothing in the back, but then you put a couple of strollers back there and you get the taps and rattles and who knows what else. So, making sure that the interior, throw a seat cover on if the upholstery's jacked up, or a blanket or two, just little bits like that that make it more comfortable for the long-term drive. If it's going to be warm during the day and cold at night, this is getting pretty deep in there, but make sure your door seals are up, your window felts are good, because you get a lot of draft through there if you're, if they're in bad shape. And this kind of goes back to some of my other podcasts about heating and air conditioning. Sometimes the goal is not to make the AC put out more AC, but to fix the air leaks and insulation in the truck. Because rather than keep, making more cold air, it's about keeping the cold air in that you have, or vice versa, the heat. The door seals on my 64 Travelette are terrible, and I have to run the heater at full blast all the time to stay warm, because so much air escapes or cold air blows in when I go down the road. But my black truck has good door seals and good window felts and all that. And even though it's a Travelette and it's a huge cab and it just has the standard capacity heater, after a little bit, it's comfortable in there. So, a lot of it comes down to that. You want to stay warm, check your door seals and your window felts, not necessarily how much heat your heater core is putting out. Of course, that has something to do with it, but assuming that works like it's supposed to, and you're still complaining about being cold, or your wife's complaining about being cold, then you look into the seals and the insulation side of it, holes in the firewall, that kind of thing. I know that's getting pretty deep into your road trip prep, but mechanically, like I said, make sure the fuel system's good. Make sure your electrical system is up and that you have spares for the important components. Making sure that the wheel bearings are packed. They've got good gear oil. You've got all your fluids up. Make sure your brakes are adjusted right. Making sure your tires are good. They're not going to wobble all over going down the road. You know, if you have a Scout 2 with a lift, but you've never done a cut and turn and you don't have caster wedges, 65 on the freeway is a questionable experience. So, you know, if you've got a trip coming up in a few months and you don't have any of those features, you might want to look into having some caster shims put in, because that's going to make your road trip experience better. You know, making sure that your ball joints, your tie rod ends, drag link is all in good shape, so that it doesn't wander real bad going down the highway. You know, I mean, part of driving the old trucks is the experience and being active and present while you're driving, but you also don't want to be scared to death and, you know, white knuckled the entire trip, because nothing will wear you out faster than being scared to death all the time. I mean, I drive my black truck across the country 3 times a year. And I mean that literally one end to the other. Couple 3 times a year, 80% of the time I got one hand on the wheel, and I'm doing 75, towing a trailer, and I'm comfortable. I might be half deaf because it's loud, but I'm warm or I'm cool. I'm going, you know, I'm not scared. I'm hitting ruts in the road and potholes and whatever. Truck track's good. It's comfortable. Like that is the end goal. My truck goes down the road just as good as any new truck. You know, I've driven plenty of new trucks too, so I have a good basis for that. So it's very possible to build an old truck or a Scout that'll go down the road comfortably and trouble-free for long distances and be enjoyable. So, you know, keep that in mind. Like I said in the very beginning, wheel bearings are wheel bearings, whether they're, you know, it's a 70s Scout or it's a new car. Like, there's only so many systems that there are. And if you take good care of them, stay up on your maintenance, you know, the engine's not making any weird ticks and rattles and questionable sounds, then, you know, then you're generally, you'll be good to go on these long drives. You know, making sure you have some spares, have extra fluids, have a spare tire, have the tools to change that spare tire, having the tools to change your coil or change your points. Those are important too. And I'm not talking about taking a big old toolbox, you know, a small tool bag with the, you know, important tools, basics is really all you need. You know, the medicine cabinet or a storage box with some fluids, you know, a gallon of water, couple quarts of oil, ATF if you have power steering or automatic, a little pint of brake fluid, you know, that's it. That stuff will get you, you know, 90% of the way. You know, when you're stopping for fuel, don't forget to check the oil occasionally. Don't forget to open the hood and just look around. Make sure your fan belt's not getting ready to fly off. Make sure that something's not coming loose. Make sure you don't have any weird leaks that are, you know, filling the intake manifold with gas or anything like that. Like, it's just, you know, one of those things. And there, it just popped into my head about the fan belt. You know, check that out when you're looking at everything else. If it's frayed and worn, you know, change that before you hit the road. If yours looks okay, I would get an additional one and keep it in your tool set, your spare set, because at speed, high RPMs, those things will fly off sometimes. If something comes loose or it's not adjusted right or your alternator's out of alignment, they'll, you know, pitch a belt. So having a spare belt, not a bad idea. And I know all this stuff is kind of elementary, rudimentary to seasoned IH owners, but, you know, it's good info for people that want to drive farther than their small town and take them to other shows that are in other states. You know, good ideas for how to set your trucks up for that. So anyway, I think I'll cut it off there. Appreciate everybody. Thank you for following along. Thanks for all the likes, the shares, the subscribes. Thank you for all that. I appreciate it very much. Until next time, I'm Dan from Binder Boneyard.